name and fully expect signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up. That writing gets so small in that thing. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given to thy hand Zion, to king the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Let's go down to Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 9. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Reproach means shame. From off to you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day, rolling or eternal. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept a Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So it's interesting that God, as he changes your location, he changes your diet. That diet has a lot to do with how far you can go with God. So as we look at this, we look here and we're talking on the subject of believe in the blessing. And so what we're finding out here is that once you get into Canaan, faith is not an option anymore. Faith becomes mandatory. Because one of the things you're going to do is seek the promises of God. The promises of God are your promised land, the healing of God, the promotion of God, the provision of God, the protection of God. All of that's your promises. But you're going to have to fight for everyone you get. Everyone you get. So, and we're going to find that out here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, he talks about this fight. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it. Take it. Glory to God. I like that word. Take it by force. Now this, the Bible says, a good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of your blessings that God has given you. And God talks about these blessings from the beginning until the end. But first, let's just talk about for just a few moments, believing. Believing. Because believing is a very, very important part of what you get. Now, the enemy's job is to keep you from getting it. He wants you to get saved. Well, he doesn't really want people to get born again. But he wants people to get saved, and that's it. Let's cut it right there. You got enough. But no, anything that the heathen are possessing belongs to you. And God wants it transferred. Now, he's going to do it in his way. But what you have to use is you have to use something called faith. Now, as we look at this, look at Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, he said in verse 19, he said, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I'll stretch out my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I'll do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. In other words, not going to let you go in your own power. So you can't do this in your own power, but you're going to do it by my power. This is God now. He said, I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, favor will get you anything you ask. inside of the, that's why you got to watch it with the blessing, because the blessing is so powerful, it'll give you so much favor till you end up taking advantage of somebody. And you don't want to do it. Boy, that's a lot of favor. Wow, man, that's powerful stuff. The Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. Say, I'm not going out of here empty. Praise God. All right. So let's look at this whole idea of belief and what it is. Now look at Romans, if you will, and chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him who they've not believed? And how can they believe in him who've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And then it says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have been sent to you. I said, I have been sent to you. Isn't it wonderful? Okay. Now, in this idea that I've been sent, the Bible says that I'm not going to turn all the scriptures to. I got to go quite a ways to go here. It says that when they receive you, they receive me. All right. That's found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. So they receive me. So as I come and I preach to you, how can you hear without a preacher? How can you hear without a preacher? So God has made it so that it takes a person to give you the word. It takes a person to give you the word. God built the system that way. And it takes a person. So I've got to give you the word. Now, when you hear it, you're supposed to believe it. Over in Romans, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it talks about that there are people here who, because of, he said, let us therefore fear or believe, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For the gospel that was preached, unto you was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, but it wasn't mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. So you've got to take it and receive it as God said it, even though a man is giving it to you. Say amen to that. So once I give it to you, you have to believe. You have to believe. And when a person doesn't believe, it's either because of one or two reasons. One, they don't believe because they've never heard. And that's called unbelief. So a person can walk in unbelief because they never heard this. Now you're about to hear something a lot of people, most people, have never heard. But God gives it to the preacher. And I'm to preach it to you. Now, why did they not believe it? Because they didn't believe it because it sounded too unreasonable. See, we're not trying to get you to reason this out. We're getting you to receive it by faith. All right? And a lot of things in the Bible are humanly unreasonable. So, one reason why a person won't believe is because that person is ignorant. They've never heard the word. Ignorance is not a bad thing, you know. Well, yes, it is. But it's my people are destroyed for what? They're ignorant, never heard the thing. But the other reason why people don't believe is because of a word called unpersuadableness. Unpersuadableness. They're not persuaded. They don't believe. You can tell them over and over again, but for some reason, they just still won't believe it. And look what it says about Abraham. This is found in Romans chapter 4. And it says in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully what? Persuaded that what God had promised, come on, he's able to perform. You can't do it. Faith shifts the battle to God. So God has got to deliver the promises to you. You can't do it yourself. Say amen to that. And one of the tricks of Satan is to get you in your own ability. All right? So in this, what is Bible belief? Bible belief is to believe based on the Word of God alone. It's not another thing. It's just the Word of God alone, and a person believes based on that Word alone. All right? So this is this Bible believing. It is what I call unqualified committal. Unqualified committal. All right? And unqualified committal is when you, the idea is that you believe something, or you yourself, you believe it to the point that you are unwilling to change your mind, and you're willing to even take it to the point of believing it with all your life. Yeah. I'm trying. There's no qualification that can stop me from believing. In other words, you're selling out. What did the three Hebrews say? They said in Daniel 3, they said, the God that we serve, He will deliver us. Were they willing to go into the fiery furnace? Because they what? They believed. See, if somebody hears this word and doesn't act on it, they don't believe it. That's the key. They don't believe this. And that's what happened a lot in the churches. People hear the word, but they never act on it. And they never act on it because they're unpersuadable, or some of them have not ever heard it. But my point to you is that once you believe this word, then you'll find that now this word can work for you. And whatever it says, it will manifest in your life. Isn't this wonderful? Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. And the Bible says, and there they preached the gospel. Talking about Paul and his team. They preached the gospel there. Now what comes when you hear the word? Faith. All right? And there was sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Paul said to the man with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And he leaped and what? Walked. Because he heard the what? The word. And when he heard the word, what came? Faith came, and then all he had to do was act on it. Got it? So you're going to hear something about the blessing, and it's up to you to believe it. Now, God plans for this word to not return to him void. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. He plans for this word, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. See, don't look at your situation and think that's too hard. Nothing's too hard for God. Say amen to this. So this whole idea of believing, your inheritance comes as you believe the word. So you and I are sent here to believe what God said. Whatever God says is true. The Bible says, let God be what? True, and every man be a liar. All right. Now, this teaching on blessing, it's really going to bring the church out of mediocrity. I mean, it's going to bring the church into a place of influence. I am fully persuaded that this is the royal age of the church. I am fully persuaded that God is going to do some things and lift the church up like the church has never been lifted up before. Say amen to that. All right. So, as we look at this now, we're getting into this area again called the blessing and what this blessing is. Now, what we said here, and let me change my paperwork here, praise God, is that this blessing is something that we see first starting over in Genesis in chapter 1. And over in Genesis chapter 1, we find out over in verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then let's go on down to verse 28, please. And it talks about, and God blessed them. He said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon this earth. So God blessed them. He blessed them. Now, what we said about this word bless is a very powerful word. Bless is the word that means to endue with power for success. To endue with power for success. Now, this word blessing comes from the root word bless, and this word bless is the word in the Hebrew, Barak. You've heard the president name that, and some of you have heard it other places, but it is the word Barak, and it means to endue with power for success, meaning that at one moment you can have no power, and then you get blessed. And now everything's changed. That when you get blessed, this power changes your whole life. Are you with me? You know, when I was one time in Central America, somewhere where we were, I think Guatemala somewhere, and what I was doing is I apprenticed teaching, I taught on the Holy Spirit. And so what happened now is I called for people to get born again, and I was telling them about the Holy Spirit as power. And that once that power comes in you, that because Jesus is in you and the same Holy Spirit anointing is on you, then you can do the same thing Jesus did. So I got some people at the altar and they got born again. And then I said, okay, now we're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I went around each one of them, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, people speaking in tongues, so forth and so on. Now just right here at the altar. And then God said, okay, take one of them and show the healing power is now on them. And so I took this lady, I said, lady, come up on stage. And then I took another person, I said, oh, you having problems, so forth. The lady's been over, she said, you having problems with her back and so forth. And so she came up, she stood there, and this lady who got saved and born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, came near. And so I said, all right. The Bible said, though that believe will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? So what happened? I said, now I'm going to let you lay hands on her. And I'm going to let you pronounce a blessing, a healing over her tonight. Okay? And I said, now just follow me. And I took her hand. Her hand was kind of limp. And I took her hand and I said, now put it on her head. Just put it on her head and so forth. So she did that and put it on the lady's head. And when she put it on the lady's head, now even though she just got born again and just got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm not sure, but anyway, just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so she put her hand on the lady and the lady fell out on the ground. And the lady who put her hand on said, oh, what have I done? Oh, what have I done? I said, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. You're not that powerful. I said, who did it was the power of God that's working through you the moment you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm saying when this blessing comes on you, the moment you get blessed, it changes everything in your life. Everything, nothing remains the same. There's an empowerment that comes on you and it gives you an ability to do things that you never could do before. That's this blessing. And this blessing is talked about from Genesis to Revelation. You just read it in Genesis. Let's go back to Revelation now. Revelation chapter 5 is starting at verse 11. And he says this, and behold, I beheld, And I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them. Oh, by the way, the lady got up healed. I wanted to say that, praise the Lord. So we can close the loop on that thing. Yeah, she got up healed. But see, she, the healer was in her, and the power of God was on her to do the exact same things that Jesus did, because she is the body of Christ. And she's to do the exact same thing. And anybody that comes into the kingdom receives the blessing. It's not but one blessing. It's all on the head. And it's from the head, and it runs down the beard and down the garment. That's Psalm chapter 133. And when it runs down, that same blessing that's on the head is now on the body. You are the body of Christ. So it's one blessing. Say one blessing. Because Esau came in and tried to get another blessing. It's not another one. Look what it says. Where am I now? Revelation, yeah. Chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 5,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power, next, and riches, next, and wisdom, next, and strength, next, and honor, come on, next, and glory, and what else? And blessing. So when God says this, this supernatural now that comes on your life qualifies you to do things that you were not able to do before. And it takes you into a place of operation that you were never able to operate before. In fact, some of the areas that this blessing affects is your finance area. It gives you financial blessing, glory to God. I'll go into that as we get on down. It gives you provision. It gives you supernatural favor. It gives you supernatural promotion and longevity. Longevity means you live long. It gives you fruitfulness. That means you bear fruit. That means that, remember what he said that over in Malachi, that Satan shall not destroy the fruit of thy ground. Remember, as you produce fruit, it'll protect them. And also it gives you protection, and it gives you promotion and business strategy. So all these things come with that empowerment, come with that of what God puts on you. So God says, when I bless you, it's going to attach to your life. You can't shake it off. You can't wash it off. Watch this. And the devil can't separate you from it. And this blessing is going to be on your life for as long as you're on this earth. This blessing comes on your life. Now, this blessing is... people say, well, we are all blessed. All right, well, that's kind of interesting, because in James chapter 1, verse 17, put it up. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he talks about that God is good to all. Look what he says. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So anything good that's really good is from God. And God is good to everybody. In other words, he is a God that actually provides for every person. The blessing of God, in a way, comes on everybody. Everybody has air to breathe. Everybody has water to drink. Come on. Everybody can get up in the morning, pretty much, and guarantee that they'll be able to get up in the morning. Are you following what I'm saying? So, in other words, God can give you something and bless your life in a normal way. But this blessing is different. It's a flow of the power of God on a level that nothing can compare with it and nothing can compete with it. So when this blessing comes on your life, it's more than the sun shining on everybody or the air available to everybody. This blessing is God getting personally involved in your life and bringing something and a power on your life that nobody can compete with it and nobody can stop it from operating. Say amen to that. So this blessing is going to promote you, it's going to prosper you, it's going to do everything for you. Now, in this blessing, Lord have mercy, glory to God, in this blessing, you see it all over the Bible. A lot of times we haven't looked at this in terms of that, but let's go a couple of places. We're going to come back to Noah here in just a minute. Look at, if you will, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Can I slow down here just a little bit? Look at, let's go to Proverbs, please. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Let's look at that. Over in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, he says here that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth what? No sorrow with it. Now this is the blessing, the barakah of the Lord. It's going to make you rich. Now look what he said. Put it up there in the Amplified, please, and put it in a couple of translations so we can really get a full importance of it. He said this. NIV, I said in, I should amplify it. NIV, please. He knows what I mean if you're back there. NIV, please. Put it up there. He said, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So you don't have to toil for any of this blessing. That this blessing is going to affect every area of your life and it's going to do things for you without toil. Let's go to the next scripture, Ned. Let's go to 11, verse 25, please. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. I don't know why they put 25 here, man. If I follow this. Blessing, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth that yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but attendeth to poverty. A liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Now look what it says here. A liberal soul shall be made fat. Let's go, well, let me just tell you, because I got a ways to go. That word liberal there is the word barakah. Barakah. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Maybe you can put it up there in the NIV, please. Let's see if there's another degree of that I can add to that. A liberal soul shall be fat. A generous person will what? Prosper. And that word generous there is the barakah. Now let's go back to Genesis and just see how this thing works. Let's go back to Genesis, if you will, and Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I can't go by this thing. Genesis chapter 2. I'd rather stay with our Bible here. In Genesis chapter 2, look what it said in verse 18. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet, make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Are you with me? So here is Adam, and he gave names to all the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, what was on Adam, causing Adam to be able to operate in a way, glory to God, this blessing now, I want you to get this. It's very, very important here. This blessing. Let's also look at, glory to God. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me now. This blessing is on, I don't want to take you too far. I don't want to take you too fast. Oh, okay, so let's just track the blessing. So here's the blessing, all right? So they lost the blessing. How did they lose the blessing? They got unsaved. they ate of the tree and the nature of them changed. The blessing left. All right, now God is got to get that blessing back. So he comes back to a man named Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to him, be fruitful, come on, and multiply, come on, and replenish the earth. What does replenish mean? Perpetually renew and supply it. Perpetually renew and supply it. Say that. Perpetually renew and supply it. It means to stock with abundance, to recover form of fullness. That replenish is part of what our call is, that we are to replenish the neighborhood that we're in. We're to replenish a person's life that's broken. We're to replenish. So that's on our lives. So here, of course, Noah got drunk and everything, and they lost the blessing. Here comes God again, but he comes in through this man, now Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord is saying to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will barak you and make you a baraka. Are you with me here? I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth, families of the earth, be blessed. Now, right now, most of the families of the earth call Abraham father. The church, Abraham is their the father Abraham, the father of the church. The Jews call him father, and most of the Muslims call him father, because he now. Do y'all believe the preacher? All right, just say yes. Okay, I don't want to explain that, because they think Abraham, you know, that, well, he was, praise God, he was a father, but they had him through a woman that was not Sarah. Okay. Oh, this thing went down good in the first service. All right. Now, let's look at verse 2 and look at it, please, in the Amplified translation. In the Amplified translation, he said, and I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous, come on, and distinguished. And you will be what? A blessing, keep going, dispensing goods to others. So notice what he's doing. One of the reasons why he's blessing you is that we are to be a blessing, that you are being blessed so that you can bless somebody else. You're not to take all this and hold it to yourself, but you're to bless other people as well. Say amen to that. All right, let's go all the way over, if you will, to Genesis and chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24, now this is Abraham, and Abraham now, it says in verse 1, it says, glory to God, it says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So it's not just money, it's everything in your life. Say amen to that. And Abraham was 175 years old about this time. And now that's pretty old. I mean, you could look at Noah's life, and the Bible says, and when Noah was 600 years old, man, that is something. Can you imagine living that long? You will see a lot of change on the earth during that time, man. All right. Now, let's look at this. Because now he was blessed in all things. And again, that word, barak, in all things. And it goes and it tells about the blessing over in verse 35. He was blessed, blessed my master greatly. He has become great, and he's given him flocks and herds, so forth and so on and so on. Okay. So he passes it on in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 5 and 6. And Abraham gave all that he had to who? Okay, is that up there? To Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts. In other words, he gave him $1 million apiece and said, see you. But with Isaac, he gave all that he had. Now, Isaac has got this, and now Isaac goes, now this blessing is on him now, but he's got to believe in this blessing, because it doesn't function if you don't put a demand on it. Glory to God. And faith is the thing that you use to put a command on. Look what he said in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt now. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Now, what is he telling him to do? Don't go and put your trust in anything else but me. Because you do that, and this doesn't function. Faith demands that God be your what? Only source. All right? So verse 3, and sojourn in this land, that means walk around in it like you own it, and I'll be with you, and I will what you? I will say it aloud, I will bless you. For indeed, all these seeds will I give all these countries. Now, I want you to see this because I'm working up to something, folks, and I got to take it slow because I got to get this unbelief out. So look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord what? He blessed him. Now, nothing could grow. But when Isaac planted, God empowered him to prosper. So God can make a stick come up in the desert. Oh boy. Verse 13. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and the great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Verse 16. And Abimelech said to him, to Isaac, go from us. You are much mightier than we are. Put it up there in the Living Bible, please. In the Living Bible translation, and just see what that last verse says, if you will. He said this. He says, and finally Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too what? Powerful for us. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is when God is speaking about the blessing. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord shall what? Set you what? High above what? All nations of the earth. And all these what? Blessings shall come on you and what? Overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Do what he says. So, I'm going to set you on high. I'm going to take you above anybody else. Above all nations. Nobody is going to be on your level. Nobody. Now God is saying, I'm going to do that. Because the blessing, if you just hold on to it and embrace it, it's going to take you up. It's going to take you up. Get in strife, blessing don't work. Come on, start trusting something else, blessing doesn't work. I'm just saying stay in love, stay in faith, hold on to the blessing, and it's going to take you to the top. God is saying, you don't do it, I'll work it out. Are you with me here? So what is happening here? God is going to promote you. I'm going to make your name great. Didn't he say that? And look what it says, talking about Proverbs chapter 75 and verses 6 and 7. 75 and 6 and 7. He says this, for promotion cometh neither from the east or from the west, nor from the south. Talk about you now. But God is the judge. He'll put down one and put up another. So who's going to promote you? God is going to promote you. Now, why is this so important? Because Satan promotes his people. And he uses divination. And you, in your natural ability, it's you can't whip Satan at his game. So you need some help. And the Bible says in Psalm 121 that your help cometh from the Lord. So God has a plan for your life. And he's going to promote you in a way that he's going to promote you. Say amen to this. And so he is the one that can cause you to rise up above anybody else. And so I'm looking at this now, and I had to look at it in terms of people saying, well, you know, they're prejudiced down there, and they don't promote minorities, and, you know, my film didn't get promoted, or my something. Now, I'm touching on some stuff. I know I'm touching on some stuff, see, but I'm touching on something that people are trying to function without God. And they're trying, come on now, stay with me. And Satan is running a system out there that he knows how to put one person up. He knows, come on, how to make you run after this and not go after what's really right. And so God is saying, wait a minute, I got a remedy for you. You don't need to get mad and get your lip poked out. What you need to do is understand that I'm running everything. And if I'm running everything and I put my blessing on you, my blessing is going to take you up above anything that he will try to do. I'm going to put you on top of him. Now, you don't need to get mad about it. You don't need to protest about it, because let God be true and every man be a liar. Come on. God's got his own diversity program. His diversity program, he is an equal opportunity employer. He is not respecting your color. He's not respecting your country. He's not respecting your bank account. He's not respecting anything that you can bring to him. What he's going to respect is the blessing. And the blessing is going to work by faith. And I'm telling you right now, God will promote you. He promoted. Come on. In no place that you can go, he's not going to promote you. Wherever he leads you, he's going to promote you. Folks, I can't tell you how many times the devil tried to keep me down. I remember at Lake of Pulaski, a man even came and prophesied over me and spoke death to my life. I'm talking about a guy that says he's a prophet, came in a white suit and said that. He spoke that over me. I said, I cut that off in Jesus' name. I said, agree with me, church. I cut that off right now. Look at how they tried to stop me with this ball. Look how they tried. I'm telling you, if God be for you, and the blessing of Abraham is on your life, what you tried to do is you tried to climb that ladder with your own ability, and the devil can manipulate you and put somebody over you that don't like you and get you all fussing and so forth. You don't need to do none of that. They even tried to put Joseph in jail, but God put him over the jail, because wherever you go, you're going to be the boss. Wherever you go, you're going to be the one on top and not the bottom. Look what it, hey, glory to God. Look what he says in Deuteronomy 28, and come down to verse 10. He said in verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground. In other words, he's going to give you business strategies so you will never falter or fail in your business. Next verse, please. And the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure in heaven and give you rain in your sin, your land in season. And he's going to bless how much? All the work of your hand. And you shall what? Lend to many nations. Come on. And shall not borrow. Keep going. And you shall, he'll make you the what? He'll make you the what? And not the what? And thou shalt be above how much? Only, and never be beneath. I'm here to tell you, all you got to do is hearken to what he said. This blessing is on your life. Now, we When this blessing is on your life, you're going to be successful. I don't care what happens. All you've got to do is look how the blessing raised him up. You can look how the blessing raised up Abraham, how the blessing raised up Isaac, how the blessing raised up Jacob, how the blessing raised up Joseph, how the blessing raised up Moses, how the blessing raised up a dumb guy named Gideon, how the blessing made. I'm telling you, the blessing will give you, it'll give you knowledge that you never had. Look what he said in John's Gospel in chapter 7. In John's Gospel in chapter 7, he said in verse 14, and this is talking about Jesus. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Watch this. And the Jews marvel, saying, how does this man, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Let me give you a translation. How is this man knowing all this, and he never went to our school? He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to Oxford. He didn't go to Wharton Business School. How is he knowing this? The blessing will teach you. The blessing will give you added learning. I'm telling you, folks, this blessing is about to take us somewhere that you ain't never been before in your life. Never again will you have to poke your mouth out and talk about how prejudiced they are. Honey, let me tell you, it's always people that don't like you. Your cousin can't stand you. You just ain't heard about it yet. I'm saying you got to get rid of all of that and put your focus on one thing, Jesus, because he is the way the blessing comes on you, and he's the way you're going to make it to the top. Say, I'm going to the top. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord a praise for that. I got a whole lot more. In Daniel chapter 1, it says God blessed them in all learning. That means, yeah, you went to class, but God added something to the book. But you got to expect it. Just like anything else in faith, you got to step out and expect it. Did you get something out of that just by now? Oh, we're about to go somewhere now. Now do you see why I said God's going to give us a way how to cancel any debt in 7 days? If you need to be born again, let me pray for you right now, whoever that is. There's somebody in here, you don't have the blessing because you're not born again. That's not criminal. It's just God telling you, I brought you here. And I brought you here for the blessing. And when you get born again, you come here, you get baptized, filled with the Spirit of God, that blessing comes on your life, and everything changes. So whoever that is, get up out of your chair. Come on up here, I'm going to pray for you. And you receive Christ, and watch that blessing come on your life. Come on down, come on down. Whoever that is, get up out of your chair. Come on down. Come on, this is your day. Come on.